Today I'm talking about the limitations on lawyers doing pro bono work. And the two people I'll be speaking with today are Chris Bishop, an MP who put forward a members bill that would have made it easier for lawyers who aren't authorised to practice on their own account to do pro bono work. Then I'm going to be talking to Hemi Leaf, who is an in-house lawyer at Tauranga City Council, about the effect that this limitation puts on him in a practical sense.
So I trained as a lawyer from Victoria University of Wellington, did my profs. Never actually practiced, ended up working as a researcher here at Parliament, then ended up going to government for Gerry Brownlee and Stephen Joyce for a few years. But yeah, always retained a real interest in public law and constitutional law and justice issues. So since I've been an MP, I variously served as police spokesperson for National relatively early on in opposition. Served on the Justice Committee in my first 3 years. In fact, my first 5 years as an MP was on the Justice Committee, Justice and Electoral. Did all the inquiries into electoral law. Always been interested in the law.
And so access to justice was quite a natural fit for you then, coming from that background.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, some people will laugh at this, but I was in Mexico reading Law Talk, the Law Society magazine, and I read this article by a lawyer saying that he'd been trying to persuade the Law Society to allow employed lawyers to do pro bono legal work outside their employer. And I thought, well, that seems strange that's not allowed right now. And at the time, I was we're in opposition. I was a relatively junior member of parliament. And, I kind of think if you're an MP, you've got an obligation to try and improve things. So I thought that's a perfect members bill to introduce into parliament. And in my first 3 years as an MP, I had a bit of success. So I did a bill around compensation for live organ donors. The law used to say that if you donated a kidney altruistically, you basically got the sickness benefit while you recovered. Obviously a massive disincentive for people to donate. So my bill changed the law so that people got essentially what they were earning from their salary before they took time off. So obviously it makes you not worse off. And then I did some changes around censorship law as well. Basically a slight tweak to improve freedom of speech around censorship. So I had a bit of success. And so yeah, that was one of the things I did early on in my career, was just try and find things that I thought were wrong and try to improve them. And I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. Let's try and get this over the line. And yeah, chucked them into the proverbial biscuit tin, as they say. And got pulled from the ballot in early 2021.
And so what's the feeling like when that comes out of the biscuit tin and you're all go at that stage?
Yeah, it's amazing. I've never actually been to a biscuit tin procedure and had my bill pulled. I've always been off doing other things around the building, but it's quite an elaborate procedure. A few dozen people there watching. I've never been there. It's always text from the whip or whoever we've sent down there to have a look, and then of course it's tweeted out by Parliament and stuff as well. So yeah, it's happened three times now. I've been a little bit lucky. I've actually drafted a couple of bills that have been pulled by other members as well. So Ian McKelvey's got a bill around BYO at summer race meetings. That's just passed into law. I've been two or three others over the years, but it's an exciting moment. Unfortunately, this one, the pro bono law bill didn't pass into law, which I'm pretty annoyed about, but anyway.
Yeah, so explain how it would have operated had it passed.
Yeah, so basically the Lawyers and Conveyances Act says at the moment, if you're an employed lawyer, you can't do any pro bono legal work, and I think that's wrong. I think that employed lawyers should be able to do that. And so what my bill does is change the law to allow that with the permission of the employer on rules set by the Law Society. We are locking out a big sector of the legal community from doing pro bono legal work. And, frankly, I don't think the prohibition is justified. I had various groups submitted to the Select Committee saying the same thing, like Community Law, Aotearoa as well, who are a big supporter of it. So it's very frustrating that it didn't pass.
So what was the thinking behind the opposition to the bill?
If you want my frank view, it's political. Labor made it pretty clear that they weren't going to give a victory to a National MP's members bill. We're in a parliament in which Labor has an absolute majority. At the time, they had 65 seats. It's just a blanket no. I did my best. The bill got sent to a committee. They were, good enough to send it to a committee to have a look at it. But from the moment we turned up to the committee, Labor members made it very clear that they weren't at all interested in advancing it, which I think is a real shame. And I sort of said to them, look, you're really missing an opportunity here. Let's work on the drafting. But they just weren't interested. So I think it's a real missed opportunity. And I think Parliament's going to have to revisit the issue. I'm not going to say it's number one on our priority list for justice, but it's certainly something I'll be pushing the, you know, if we win the election, certainly something I'll be pushing the Justice Minister to have a look at.
So in terms of mechanics, I guess one of the concerns would always be that employed lawyers are typically less experienced.
Yeah.
And therefore it's potentially a lack of supervision around there that would cause issues.
Yeah.
Would you say that your view is it's better to have a lawyer than no lawyer in those circumstances?
I'd say a couple of things. I mean, the first is that non-employed lawyers can sometimes be junior as well. So it's not just an employed lawyer thing. Secondly, you know, you can make provision through the Law Society through the rules around supervision. And then thirdly, you know, look, often we're talking about, you know, junior lawyers who, you know, member of the Tramping Society or the local residents association who, you know, just want a bit of a hang with a bit of drafting, that's constitutional stuff. You know, I think of people who end up on the, you know, the committee of the local daycare, you know, stuff like that. Lawyers are in, you know, pretty good demand, actually, often for pretty low-level pro bono work. And, you know, that is technically a breach of the rules. Particularly breach of the law at the moment. I mean, that's the thing, is most lawyers, when you say to them that this is the law, they don't believe you, but it's true. So actually, my bill would have improved access to justice and actually brought practice into line with reality. So anyway.
Yeah, I think it's probably also valid to say that there's more enthusiasm for pro bono work amongst employed lawyers probably than lawyers who are practicing on their own account.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a lot of... Certainly people, I mean, I know a lot of lawyers, obviously, many of my best friends are lawyers. And yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of legal demand out there, a lot of unmet legal demand. And I mean, there are a lot of submissions to the Select Committee to that effect, including from Community Law, Aotearoa. So there is a big access to justice issue in this country. This is not the sole answer, obviously, but I think it would have made a demonstrable improvement. You know, we'll maybe be able to come back to it.
I think the current pathway really for the only thing that works like this is doing it through a community law centre. Is that how it is at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. So you can go to work for community law. Community law has itself set up a kind of clearinghouse for slightly more sophisticated pro bono work, so to speak. So the stuff that they just can't handle through their normal community law channels. When we were dealing with the bill a couple of years ago, that was just getting started. But employed lawyers can't work for it.
Yeah.
They're prohibited. I'd have to check the stats, but certainly community law told the committee that something like 40% of lawyers in New Zealand are not allowed to participate in their pro bono clearinghouse. Well, that's wrong because of this prohibition. Well, that's wrong. They should be able to. You know, I just think it's nuts. You know, and there's a lot of cases that need help. So,
So you'd say that the current provisioning through community law centres just isn't adequate then?
No, you need to loosen it beyond just community law to more general pro bono.
Do you think there are any other pathways in the meantime that could lead to better access to pro bono work?
I mean, the prohibition's pretty strict, so it does require a law change. So, I mean, we'll have another go at it. I think, you know, the Law Society made a very odd submission, I've got to say, to the committee. I mean, but basically the genesis of it was this guy from Rabobank who wrote the article in Law Talk had a go with the Law Society, who basically told him to bugger off. And he then wrote the article because he was annoyed about it. I read that, drafted the bill, and I think they were annoyed about that. And then their submission was kind of all over the show. It was shocking, actually. You know, so it wasn't that useful for the committee. I sort of hoped they would turn up and say, yep, we need this, let's get on with it. You know, and that I think would have made the Labor members of the committee go, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to pass it because it's the Law Society supporting it, it's sensible, blah, blah. But they were sort of all over the show. So I kind of partly blame them, frankly.
After speaking to Chris Bishop, we decided to speak to one of the in-house lawyers who has been affected by this rule and the difficulty of trying to do pro bono work under the current restrictions.
Kia ora, so I'm currently at Tauranga City Council. I've been here for about 7 years. I lead the litigation, compliance, regulatory, property and disputes team. Prior, I started my career at community law, which is one of my passions. I spent a few years there, spent several years on the board as well. So naturally, I've always had an inclination towards giving back. Yeah, basically a very quick overview of my career.
And so when you were at Community Law, what were sort of the cases that you got really excited about? What were the things that you found the most motivating to work on?
I think the types, not so much the legal issues, but the types of clients. So at Community Law, 100% of the time you're working with clients where there's a very clear unmet legal need. They're always punching above their weight. There's such a massive power imbalance that it was always satisfying to be able to help them out as best you could. In terms of issues themselves, I quite like the tenancy. I remember going to the tenancy tribunal with a mother who had like 8 children, and if we weren't successful, you know, she was out without a home. And so cases like that, we're always privileged to be able to assist people in that manner. But personally, also Māori land was an area that I quite enjoyed helping out with.
And you were involved a little bit in what became the Duty Solicitor Program for the Māori Land Court as well, is that right?
Yeah, so a handful of lawyers here in Tauranga, predominantly run by a local barrister, Sharp, set up a day where whenever the Māori Land Court was in Tauranga, one of us would sit down there and help clients as best we could. It didn't quite get as much traction as we wanted to, but you know, we're always trying to look for ways to give back and utilise those skills that we have.
And so one of the consequences of moving in-house to work with the council is that you lost the ability to sort of run your own cases and do things outside of your employment. What did that mean for you in practical terms?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, community law is my passion. And when I came in-house, as you know, the rules say that you have to act for your employer, which is the whole point of working in-house. But they go so far to mean you can't actually do any pro bono except in quite narrow circumstances. You can do pro bono if you go through community law or CAB, but the short version is it becomes nearly too hard for many in-house lawyers. The latest stats that I've seen, there's something like 3,500 in-house lawyers, and my reflection is that many lawyers come in-house because they have a passion for the community. They might go to local government, central government, charities and that, and it's great that they can assist in those areas, but as soon as you're in-house, you're quite limited to go actually provide straight up pro bono services. And even if you were to work through a community law centre, like that duty solicitor thing was through community law, there's still limitations. Community law centres to an extent have their own contracts they must comply with. And yeah, but basically it's nearly too hard to get into pro bono. You have to look at the rules, try find ways around it, just try give back.
And I guess when you meet people who have those unmet legal needs, it's really hard for you then to either put your hand up and say you can help or to connect them with a service that can.
Yeah, exactly. Like I know a few who can help, but for me myself, I remember there are times when I have to look at the Law Society and see if I could actually step in. Another simple example, and I don't think there would actually be a problem, but there was someone who wanted to get admitted to the bar, and then the first port of call for us is, oh, do the rules even allow us to do that? And I think the answer was you can either do it through community law, which again is just another layer of, or CAB, or you had to get consent from the court itself, which is just too much of a hassle, I reckon.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, people who are working in-house are often quite community-focused, so you're taking a bunch of lawyers who really would be interested in helping out, and you're just giving them extra hoops to jump through.
Yeah, and I mean, in such a vast array of skills as well, like there are many in-house lawyers that their primary role is prosecution, and you know, if they wanted to do defence work, they can't really do pro bono defence. You know, working with trusts and charities, there's a lot of lawyers in that space. Again, they're still limited to the employer. Like for me, an area that I'd like to give back to is around the Māori trusts space, and I can act as a trustee, but as soon as I'm giving regulated legal advice, then yeah, I'm technically not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that must make it extra difficult too for you to take those appointments, because the people sitting around the table with you will be expecting you to give legal advice.
Exactly, and it's like you're only half offering your skills, but at the same time you're worried about your practicing certificate. I mean, you don't want to get in trouble, but yeah, you can't give straight up legal advice, and that can be quite frustrating when you are sitting on a board.
If it weren't for these legal restrictions, do you think your employer would be supportive if you wanted to do pro bono outside of work?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I work at a council and we're always looking at ways to give back to the community. Provided there are no conflicts, I'm sure they'd back me fully. And as I say, there are thousands of in-house lawyers out there, and it just seems like such an untapped resource. And again, a solid portion of those lawyers, I would say, would be quite interested in providing that unmet legal need to the community.
Mm. Do you think that the people that you work alongside are competent to be able to do it on their own without having the supervision of a community law centre or a legal firm?
Oh, there's some awesome lawyers in-house. In my own team, we've got, you know, ranges from junior lawyers right up to, you know, people working 10, 20 plus years in the profession. You know, 100% would back them to do so. Yeah, I see no reason why they shouldn't, really.
And for yourself, if you had that opportunity, you reckon that you'd be in a position to provide that alongside the work that you already do?
Yeah, of course. And like that Māori Land Court one, I still try to do it where I can, but I do recall it being quite an effort just to, you know, there's so many hoops to jump through just to provide pro bono at the moment. Everyone's busy, and as soon as you say, okay, you need to tick this box, that box, and the other, nine times out of ten, they'll probably just back away from it.
Look, thanks for that, Henry. That's all really useful, and appreciate you taking the time to speak with us as well.
Cheers. Thanks, Tim.
We hope you enjoyed listening to two different perspectives around this access to justice issue. Remember to go check out our other podcasts too.